We'll call the conference committee on Senate File 2974 to order. The House took up the Senate file, and that was appreciated, but that leaves the Senate sections 1 through 10, which is the extent of the Senate file, intact. So we could entertain a motion to do the identical provisions there.
I would so move.
Representative Huntley moves Senate sections 1 through 10. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We have two other House-only amendments that were added to the bill. The first was added by Representative Abler. Maybe you want to describe the amendment quickly?
Well, could be actually the highlight of the bill, I think. Actually, it's a very nice bill, otherwise. It's not the rest of the bill. It's actually a relatively minor but significant problem for providers. And it was put on a different bill and got left off. It was on the Keeson bill about clearinghouses, and it was inadvertently left off, and so that's how I agreed to put it on here. And the issue is, if a provider files, we have a limited amount of time to file, 90 days by contract generally. And if you happen to file a claim and it goes to the clearinghouse, and it somehow doesn't go from the clearinghouse to the health plan, you don't know that. Another went to the clearinghouse. And this, if it goes to data heaven, then you don't know that. And that happens frequently. And you have 90 days to get the bill to the health plan. And this simply says if there's some reason to get it there and it vaporizes, it counts as being filed on time. And so the health plans wrote this, and they decided to call it a business disruption, which is in the contract as an exception to the time rules. Like if your building burns down and you have a little time. And so otherwise you have to appeal, and they could allow or not. So the providers, like at the health plans that lead to it, the Department of Health helped write it with the health plan.
Okay. Any questions of members?
So,
Senator Brettner, so.
Representative Abler, so if I get this right, if the provider submits a claim and it's within the time frame that it needs to be, and you said it evaporates, what is the definition of evaporate?
I think it's
Representative Abler.
But if it's not transmitted, I'm just using slang. But if it there's a couple transactions that goes from, like, we bill ours, we have a person comes in and goes to Firefox or Foxfire, whichever it is.
Oops.
And then they send it off to the health partners and Medica or whomever. We know that it went to Firefox, but we don't know that they got it sent off. By January 1st of 2012, there's going to be a rebound response from the health plan all the way to the provider.
Okay.
And so,
So there is actually verification that it was sent and obtained, but it wasn't
documented.
It wasn't completed.
But there is some documentation that it actually was received.
Right, we have electronic documentation that it was sent, and it actually bounces back that it was clean as far as they were concerned.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool, actually. But there's...
But
like,
is that the case for everybody?
If you're doing electronic, then it bounces back from the clearinghouse, but not from the... I suppose the health plans, that they're doing it, if you're doing it direct with them, they would bounce back, but...
Maybe Mr. Golden knows.
Yes. Mr. Golden, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Jim Golden, Director of Health Policy at the Department of Health.
Have that microphone.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brettner-Solon, what I think the situation is that Representative Abler is talking about is in a bill that Senator Lori and Representative Thiessen carried that regulates clearinghouses effective January 1, 2012, whenever a claim is submitted from a clearinghouse to a payer, there is an acknowledgement that comes back from that payer, and it is the responsibility of the clearinghouse to track those acknowledgements and to make those available to the providers that are contracting with that clearinghouse. So anytime that a provider sends a claim to its clearinghouse, it has a mechanism by which to track whether or not that ultimately received was received by the payer, and they have an ability to do that in a timely fashion. in an effort to make sure they have time to build those systems, that was effective in 2012. And so I think the situation that Representative Abler is describing is that today there are some small clearinghouses that providers sometimes use that aren't necessarily following industry best practices with regard to those acknowledgments. So what happens is they might type in a paper claim, they type the address incorrectly, it goes off into some place where it's never dealt with. They aren't tracking the acknowledgments, or in this case, the lack of acknowledgments. And so what this provision does is it says that until January 1, 2012, when those other provisions go into effect, as long as a provider can document that they sent their materials to a clearinghouse within the timely fashion, the provider must take into account that there was an error that was neither the provider nor the payer's fault.
Thank you, Mr. Golden. Any other questions of members?
That's what I meant to say.
Seeing none, I think this is House Section 9.
So I would move House Section 9.
Everyone understand that motion? Any questions on the motion?
Okay.
Seeing
section
none, all those...
Section 10.
Oh, okay. Okay. Representative Huntley moves House Section 10, which is the non-submission of healthcare claim by clearinghouse significant disruption that we just discussed. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Are there any other House ones? There's one other House provision. It does say House Section 9, but if it's 10, I don't know what the other one is. We don't have a House engrossment.
Oh.
Or, you know, sorry. What's this other one?
That was from a dean.
What's the section?
I'm not quite sure what it does. And I don't think what's the goal in this. I know you've looked at this.
Mr. Golden, welcome back to the committee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, we did have an opportunity to look at this, and I also had an opportunity to speak with Representative Dean. I don't know exactly what this does within the bill, I have to be honest. I can tell you that I think what Representative Dean was trying to get to was some of the concerns that were voiced during the debate around the federal health reform bill, around using health information to restrict medical treatments that are available to people at the end of life. In our evaluation of this language, we had a conversation with the Department of Human Services. This doesn't seem to impact them. They don't think that it would change the way that they do things. The department doesn't see what it would do to us at health. On the other hand, we're not quite sure what situation it addresses either. And so from that standpoint, I'm not sure I can provide much more clarity other than that was, I think, Representative Dean's concerns.
Well,
thank you, Mr.
Rowan.
Representative Huntley.
The House is strong in support of the House position, but whatever the Senate wants to do is...
Okay, well, we've looked at it too. We really can't see any need for this at this point. And without a better understanding what the need is, there's some possibility that it could be an obstacle to, you know, making important medical decisions at some point. We don't really know why. I mean, it's not a terrible thing necessarily, but we don't see any purpose. So, I mean, it's not our inclination to adopt it at this juncture. But, I mean, any other questions or comments from members? Yes, Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, does it have something to do with like the death panels?
That's what they were dancing around there, yeah.
I think that's what they're called.
But
Mr. Chair, I would have a hard time trying to defend this.
Right. We would too. So I don't. you know, I mean, I don't, so any other provisions the House would like to talk about, or?
We can make up some new ones.
So do we need a vote on that, or how?
Should we add the removal of the nuclear moratorium?
Sure, yeah, let's, No, I think that if it doesn't go into the if it hasn't been adopted into the conference committee report, I think we've addressed every provision in the bill, and the conference, those that are going to come out are in the conference committee report. So I guess I would stand for a motion to move the conference committee report as it is, and
I would move the conference committee report with the one amendment from the House section 10.
Yeah, that's in the conference committee report now. I think we've already moved it. Senator Rosen?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just out of curiosity, why the big split on the votes here? It's like it was Democrat, Republican, in the House.
Representative Abler.
This, I think it had to do with their concern about my client record.
This was...
Oh, these are...
These are
the. That's an amendment. This is a. Just a roll. 37 no.
It's
a week has been a blur.
Yeah.
It's the privacy.
Yeah, it's privacy stuff.
It was only. Yeah. The other. On the last page there is the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look at Mr. Chair, it does. No.
Senator Rosen.
It's and there is some.
I think that was the discussion.
We Senator Rosen, we had a few, you know, I think 12 Republicans in the Senate voted against our bill too, largely on privacy concerns. There was an abortion amendment offered on the floor that was ruled non-germane. That might have. Pulled a couple of votes. I don't know if there were similar amendments offered in the House. You know, that was part of the dialogue. But
there was privacy concerns.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't.
And that's kind of a recurring theme. And frankly, when the bill came out, it scared a lot of us. But we're moving that way, and that's. But all the. Is yours have a record book here?
This
yeah,
is not the record locator stuff. No,
but that was in here in the base
language.
The thing about the consent. So the whole consent thing has been a recurring thing on our side. So in this, like, we don't.
But this bill doesn't address.
No, it doesn't change it.
Yeah,
the
it doesn't change it. Our Minnesota laws are still in good shape.
And part of the consent issue remains. And my issue with the consent and just for future information is that if you say you have consent, then you can get this stuff. Which is, I think you want to be concerned about that. Either a wet signature or the statute, like court counsel, requires the release of.
Right.
You tell me you have Senator Kevin Sullivan's permission, and I have to believe you, which is amazing. And then
for
also.
For Minnesota providers.
Yes.
Yeah, but not if you're dealing with providers from other states. And in Minnesota, we have
a
private right of action against providers. And so that does, you know,
give. Explaining part of it, just understand.
Yeah.
And there's many portals of entry into the system. And if you do have a right of action, that doesn't protect what already got taken. And that spins around this whole topic. And if you bring up the section of law, then all that stuff.
Yeah.
So just see if that helps explain.
Thank you, Representative Abler. On the conference committee report as moved by Representative Huntley, any further discussion, questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails.